Good morning, everyone. This remote meeting of the Climate and Energy Finance and Policy Committee is called to order, and we will begin by taking the roll.
Chair Long.
Present.
Vice Chair Akam.
Present.
I believe Representative Swizinski is joining us right now. Representative Swizinski?
Present.
Representative Bierman? Representative Bierman? Representative Bowe?
Present.
Representative Christensen?
Present.
Representative Franson?
Present.
Representative Grunhagen?
Present.
Representative Hollins? Representative Hollins? Representative Hornstein?
Present.
Representative Igo?
Present.
Representative Lee? Representative Lee? Representative Lippert?
Present.
Representative Liz Lagarde? Representative Liz Lagarde? Representative Mecklens?
Mecklen present.
Representative Munson? I believe he's excused. And Representative Stevenson?
Present.
I believe Representative Lee just joined us. So Representative Lee?
Lee present.
Okay, we have a quorum. Members, we are going to be beginning amendments on our omnibus bill today. And so I will be handing the gavel over to Vice Chair Akam.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and welcome everybody to committee. We are going to, as Chair Long said, we're going to go through amendments today. There are almost 50, so we've got a lot of work ahead of us. To kind of keep things in perspective, we're going to, because we have so many amendments, we're going to limit debate on each side to 2 minutes, and we're going to do our darndest to hold people accountable to that. And so if you happen to hear me try to pipe in, I apologize in advance for that, but in order to get through all of them, that's what we're going to have to do. So we will start off first with the DE4. And Representative Long, would you like to tell us about the amendment?
Yes, this is the amendment we discussed in the last two meetings. This is my author's amendment, the delete all amendment. And so I will move the DE4 amendment.
Any discussion to the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor of the DE4, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, and the amendment is adopted. We next have the A46 author's amendment. Representative Long, would you like to tell us about the A46?
I would. The A46 is my author's amendment to get the bill in the shape I would like, and it includes a number of technical changes. Also includes a bill that we left out inadvertently from Representative Wasilewicz.
Any discussion about the A46? Seeing none, all those in favor say of adopting the A46, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay.
Nay.
The amendment is adopted. And let's see, it looks like there is an oral amendment. Can Mr.
I'll move.
Thank you, Representative Long.
If you don't mind, thank you, Chair Akam. So Amendment 56 drew our attention to a mistake that had been made in the underlying bill, and so appreciate that catch. So the oral amendment is that for the section dealing with the district energy plant, there are two dates used, and if you look at line 168.2, right now it says December 21st, but it should say December 31st. So we would like to strike 21 and insert 31 on line 168.2.
And Mr. Eloff, is that sufficient?
Yes, Madam Chair. Page 168, line 2, delete 21, insert 31.
Great. All those in favor of the oral amendment, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. Given the oral amendment that we just had, the next is A56, and asking if we can withdraw that since it has been fixed.
Yes, Madam Chair, I withdraw the A56.
Thank you so much. Well, we're moving right along. next, we have the A14. Representative, who's offering the A14?
Madam Chair, I will be offering that, and I would move the A14 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Bowe. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, please. This is one of two amendments that I have just to fine-tune the verbiage in my House File 2234. And so first, I want to say thank you to Chair Long for putting that language into the Omnibus Energy and Climate Bill. This just allows the creation and installation of software to be part of the package of installing the EV charging stations in county government centers. We want to make sure that the counties, when they own this, will be able to have participants who use it pay for the energy that is consumed rather than having the local taxpayers have to subsidize that. The way I see it, they would not open their pumps at the public works facility and let people fill their cars and trucks all day. So we don't want to provide another type of fuel here at no charge and have it be subsidized. But it would be charged at market rate.
Great. Thank you, Representative Bowe. Representative Long, any discussion on the amendment?
Thank you, Chair Aikum. Thank you, Representative Bowe, for the amendment. I'm happy to accept it. I think it's a reasonable proposal.
Great. All those in favor of the A14, please say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. Aye. The amendment is adopted. Next, we have the A42. So, Representative Bowe, I think you're up again.
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to move the A42, and I'll tell you a little bit about it real quick. Thank you. I'm going to try to keep moving fast to keep us on schedule here, too. So this just specifies, and it kind of came about, this was the intent all along, is to have it installed in a public portion of the parking facilities. But through questioning from Representative or Minority Lead Swazinski, I realized that we didn't actually put that language in there. So this just specifies that the charging station must be placed in a public portion of that parking lot or parking facility. The county can use it on evenings and weekends to charge their EV fleets, which we hope might expand when they have that kind of charging infrastructure available. But the goal during the day is to have it be available in a public section for residents to use.
Representative Long, any discussion about the amendment?
I thank you, Chair Aikum. Thank you, Representative Bowe. I support this amendment as well. I also think this is a good idea and fits with the intent that I understood your bill to have.
Great. All those in favor of the, was that the A42?
That was the A42, yes.
Yeah, thank you. All those in favor of the A42, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The amendment is adopted. Okay, so we now will start with the A1 amendment. Who's offering the A1 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Swazinski moves the A1 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, this is just a common sense amendment. I think that just puts the auspice in reality. We've heard that some of the utilities are moving above this number, but to keep things in reality and allowing more flexibility for utilities to reduce the bill's requirement from a 2.5 to a 1.5% SIP goal, I think brings a little bit more common sense, more flexibility to allow utilities, if they want to expand past that, if it works, that's fine, but it also keeps a lid on the possibility of pushing a lot more mandates on our local utilities, and I'd appreciate your support.
Representative Long, any discussion about the amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. This is part of a broadly negotiated and extremely broadly supported bill and the eco bill. And I think that we need to keep the agreement intact. And so I oppose the amendment.
All those in favor of the A1 amendment, say aye.
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 Those opposed, say nay.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. And something that I'll do going forward is maybe to say which one we're going to do, and then also maybe the next one, just so people are they can see what's coming. So next we'll do the A2, and then after that we will do the A3. So who will be offering the A2 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. I move the A2 amendment for the Energy and Climate Committee.
And Representative Susinski, will you tell us about your amendment, please?
Yes. So this amendment goes along the same lines. Obviously, mandates, you know, we have goals, and then goals insidiously become mandates. This amendment moves to just simply move the SIP mandate from 1.75 to 1.5. The industry is, you know, I think, gotten used to that number. I would obviously prefer it to be zero and allow utilities to go about their business and serving their customers the best way they say fit and keep state government out of it. But I think this brings it back to a little more common sense, and I would support ask for your support on this amendment. I think it brings a little bit of calm to the storm, and I think does some good work. Thank you.
Representative Long, any discussion on the amendment?
So thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment for the same reason as the last one. This is part of a broad bipartisan agreement, and I'll just note that our utilities are regulated utilities, and so the state government is involved on in behalf of the public interest.
Madam Chair?
Representative Susinski.
You know, I just, you know, also, you know, obviously working with Zoom and working with the Senate as well, as much as we maybe don't like doing that, you know, I think the bill that's moving forward maybe moves a little bit along this line. You know, I think if we can, you know, get this bill and the potential bill that's coming next Monday to fit the Senate version, I think it's a good improvement. And I think it has a better chance of moving through the process.
Any final comments on the amendment, Representative Long?
No.
No. All those in favor of the amendment, say aye.
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 All those opposed, say nay.
Nay. No.
The amendment is not approved. we will be considering the A3 next, and after that, the A4. Will be offering the A3 amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm a little surprised you had to ask on this one.
Well, you probably couldn't see. As soon as I said it, I started to smile because I was looking at the piece of paper. So my apologies. I should have known. Representative Macklin, can you please tell us about your amendment?
Well, first, I would like to move the A3 amendment. But thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, you know, this is something that we've had this conversation numerous times throughout the year as well as last. I think people should have the opportunity to, you know, have all the above approach in their homes. And I'd like to ask that this be considered a favorable amendment, as, you know, some of us are limited in our resources that we have. And I think this is a good common sense approach. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any discussion on the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Beckham, we have seen this amendment before and had this discussion, but I'll just note that you can rest assured, because we have a statewide building code in Minnesota, and so localities are already preempted from doing what this amendment would prevent, and so it's unnecessary. So I oppose it.
Madam Chair,
Representative Swedinski.
You know, I think putting some things into this bill are positive. I think Representative Macklin's been obviously an advocate of this amendment to great extents. You know, I think there's been some argument saying, well, we don't want to, you know, take away local control. Yet in the same bill, the Wozniak portion of the bill that bans HOAs from banning solar also takes away local control. So don't use that as an argument against an amendment like this. You know, I think you know, as we move forward, Europe is seeing the light that, you know what, natural gas is a fundamental portion of their energy portfolio, and we need to keep that in mind as well. It is a local, domestically produced product and regionally significant to our state. So I appreciate your support.
Any further discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say nay. Nay.
No.
The amendment is not approved. We will next consider the A4 amendment, and after that, the A6. Who will be offering the A4 amendment?
Representative Franson, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. I am offering an amendment that would repeal the nuclear power plant ban that we have in this state. I attempted to discuss the benefits of nuclear energy, oh gosh, probably a month and a half ago, and was quickly cut off, and we had to go to a roll call. But this is taken right from the energy.gov website, reputable source. It's federal government, the Office of Nuclear Energy. And this is why they say, they give three reasons why nuclear is clean and sustainable. First off, nuclear energy protects air quality. I think that's important. Nuclear energy's land footprint is small. This committee seems to be focused on a small footprint. Nuclear energy certainly would fit that bill. The making of solar panels and windmills is not a small footprint there. Then the nuclear energy also produces minimal waste. And I think that's very important. Now, solar panels and cobalt, they have a dirty history with slavery, with human rights issues. And to the best of my knowledge, nuclear energy does not have that dirty history with it. Under good conscience, I feel good about supporting nuclear energy. Under my conscience, I cannot support things like solar panels and electric cars because they come from the back of slavery and human rights issues. And I think all of us can agree that this country should not profit off of those facts. So, members, I'm asking for your support on the A4 amendment, and I would like a roll call.
Roll call having been requested, there will be a roll call. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. I am not opposed to nuclear power. I think that there is a place for nuclear power in our energy mix. But we do not have a storage solution for nuclear waste. And I think members may have received a letter of opposition from the Prairie Island Indian community, which is the closest community living to a nuclear power plant in the United States. And there is at this time, no permanent storage solution for nuclear waste, and I believe we should wait to lift this moratorium until we have one.
Any more discussion on the amendment? Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would just speak in support of Representative Franson's repeal of the nuclear power plant or ban. You know, I said in a previous meeting here that technology has advanced as far as the nuclear waste is concerned. They now are recycling between 80 and 90% of it. And soon it seems they can almost do 100%. So the problem with nuclear waste is getting solved. Other countries in the world are utilizing this. We do have, according to the information I have in our cake, law in the book signed by Jimmy Carter that prevents us from recycling nuclear waste. We need to address that. And I think by putting this repeal in, it sends the right message in terms of clean energy, baseload energy, and reliable energy. And I, you know, when I brought this up in the past, I had an email from a expert from the energy industry who doubted that what I had said about the recycling of nuclear waste was true. He did his research. He emailed me back. I kept a copy. I just don't have it in front of me. But he basically said, I am surprised that you are right, Representative Grunhagen, that they can be reprocessed and recycled, and we don't need to carry this large deficit of nuclear waste that can last for thousands of years. So we really need to go down this path. The rest of the world already is, and we're behind the ball on that. And it, again, it provides base load electricity. So members, I strongly urge a yes vote on Representative Franson's amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Bowe.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The impression I have is that it's the ban on breeder technology that was instituted back in probably the 70s, and I think it was President Carter. But if we were allowed to use breeder technology like they do in Europe, that does take that waste and recycle it and create new energy from it. But I think there was some concern about safety with terrorists getting their hand on it, and that's what caused that ban back then. But I for one, would like to revisit that at some point in time. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bowe. And Representative Swazinski, I would ask that you try to be concise, please. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think we're running a little bit ahead of our schedule, mm-hmm. potentially, just we haven't taken up our full time on other amendments. So, you know, I think this does make sense. I mean, although the ban is more conciliatory, I think, you know, if there was to be a construction of a new nuclear plant, it would still have to go through all the same processes. You know, so it would have to come up with a resource plan. It would still have to come up with a certificate of need. So it's not like we're just eliminating the certificate of need for energy with nuclear plants. It's just that we could potentially take a look at that option for a utility if that's what they so need. So this isn't just a support saying, hey, we're going to build one tomorrow. This amendment just says, hey, we could actually look at it because the timeline for construction of one of these is decades. And, you know, we don't necessarily know what the future looks like or what the holds and the needs, but we should untie the hands for future generations.
And seeing no further discussion, as a reminder, the author of the bill recommends a no vote and the chair votes no.
Chair Long.
No.
We have Vice Chair Akam as a no. Minority Lead Swazinski.
You bet.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Yes.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Liberts.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson. He's excused. Representative Stevenson.
No.
Madam Chair.
One second. Let me just announce the vote. With 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just noticed, you know, I appreciate the heads up that you're giving us on amendments as they're coming forward. I think you potentially made a mistake. We have the A5 amendment. Representative Igo has the PUC examining sourcing of iron, copper, and nickel. And, you know, just from a timeline perspective, it'd be a lot easier if we could just go in order. Obviously, it's a great amendment. We would ask for your support on the A5 amendment, Igo amendment that supports mining and copper and nickel mining. So I don't know if you'd reconsider the timing or maybe that was just oversight on your behalf.
I promise we'll get to it. We are next going to consider the A6, and after that, we're going to do the A7 amendment. Who will be offering the A6 amendment?
That will be me. I'd like to move the A6, please.
Thank you, Representative Bowe. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. So this portion of the bill does have several parameters, which I think are very important. But this amendment just makes sure that the priority out of the 9-plus parameters contains affordability and reliability for the grid. So we want to make sure that ratepayers are not being asked to bear a larger burden, and also making sure that grid reliability remains at the top of our list for concerns. Thank you.
Any discussion on the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. The other factors that are must be considered are ones like technical feasibility or transmission constraints, and those factors are very important as well. So I don't know why we would raise some factors over others, and I oppose the amendment.
Any, seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay. Nay.
Oh. Oh.
The amendment is not adopted. Next we have the A7, and following that we will do the A8. Who will be offering the A7 amendment?
Oh, I'm offering the A7, Representative Gruenhagen.
Thank you, Representative Gruenhagen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, this simply lifts the ban on hydro over 100 megawatts. We already allow hydro up to 100 megawatts in the state, okay? Hydro provides primarily base load. It's carbon-free. It's reliable. We can get from, I think, the Missouri River in South Dakota, also Canada. It's relatively inexpensive and dependable. Why wouldn't we want to make sure that we back up any alternative energy with cheap, reliable, and carbon-free baseload electricity? So I would ask for a roll call on this amendment, and I would strongly urge acceptance of it.
A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Is there any discussion on the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Chair Agam. I oppose the amendment. This is current law to have that exists under our current renewable energy standard, and it's 100 megawatts is still a very large hydro project, and it's designed, I think, to keep out some of the largest hydro projects, which there have been concerns about in terms of their impact on the environment. I'll note that our carbon-free standard allows any carbon-free energy source to qualify, including all hydropower. So I would oppose the amendment.
Seeing Representative Gruenhagen, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that response, Chair Long, but I just think you're completely wrong on this. We need to back up. Remember the testimony we had that if we have a polar vortex from industry experts, they said if we go completely alternative, the polar vortex in 2019 lasted for 48 hours. And when I asked the question, if we go completely alternative, what if we have a polar vortex of 20 to 30 below, where are we going to get backup energy? And they said, well, we would tap into alternative energy from neighboring states. So I said, well, how long will that last? And I don't know if you remember, he said that would last about 4 hours, Chair Long. So that means we'd have 44 hours without baseload electricity and rolling blackouts. That's what we're talking about. We've got to utilize some baseload carbon-free clean energy. And this takes us in that direction so we can tap into it. I mean, it's penny-wise and pound-foolish to not provide some baseload electricity that's clean, reliable, and easily within the and inexpensive and easily within the reach of the state of Minnesota. So members, I would strongly urge you think this through and you vote yes on this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski. Minority Lead Swazinski. Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Franson, yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igoe.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippertz.
No.
Representative Liz Ligard.
Liz Ligard, yes.
Representative Mecklund.
Mecklund, yes.
Representative Munson's excused. Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson.
With 6 ayes and 8 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We will next look at the A8 amendment. Who will be offering the, and after that we'll do the A9. Who will be offering the A8 amendment today?
Madam Chair, I would move the A8 amendment, please.
Thank you, Representative Bowe. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. The A8 is really just once again taking a look at priorities and making sure that one of the priorities is the stability of our regional and local grid, because that can be problematic, ask the folks in Texas. So we want to make sure that grid stays reliable. Thank you.
Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment for the same reasons I opposed the previous bold amendment.
Seeing no further discussion, all those in favor of the amendment say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We will now consider the A9 amendment, and next we will do the A10. Who will be offering the A9 amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be moving the A9 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Mecklund. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to tell you about my amendment. I believe this is a brilliant amendment, as carbon capture and technology has improved so much over the last several decades, and it keeps getting better all the time. And I naturally believe that all the above energy approach is in the best interest, not only for grid reliability, but affordability. And I would hope that the author of the bill would find this to be a very favorable amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mecklund. Any discussion on the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm sorry to disappoint you, Representative Mecklund, but I will be opposing the amendment. 80% carbon-free still means 20% greenhouse gas emissions, and even the utilities in the state that are pursuing carbon capture have advertised that they can do better than 80%. So I don't think this is an amendment I will be able to support.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing a couple of hands here. How about Representative Swazinski?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members. I just rise in support of the Mecklund Amendment. You know, I think the realities in the field, you know, if our goal is to drive coal generation out of production, you know, we have a real opportunity to really install the greatest and best technology here in the United States. This coal will be burned, folks, just because if you close these plants down here domestically, and, you know, cause negative effects on our grid reliability and affordability and domestic production of energy, doesn't mean this coal will not be built and not be burned. You know, it's simply going to get scooped up. Instead of being marched a couple hundred feet into the plant, it's going to be put on a train and shipped to the coast and shipped to China or someplace else with potentially unreliable standards when it comes to emissions. And I think looking at the realities of the situation, we need good, solid baseline load. And, you know, this technology, I think, really is a great in-between of saying, you know, hey, we understand that some folks have a real problem with CO2, but it also allows this as a resource to pump it back in the ground, put, you know, 80% of it back to in the ground where it came from, and, you know, allow us to have good, solid, reliable energy across the country and through the Midwest. And I think I praise Representative Mecklund and his efforts in this area. You know, I think he's really standing strong for the realities of the situation when it comes to energy generation, and really a visionary when it comes to adopting this, and I would ask for your support.
Let's see, Representative Igo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I just want to rise in support, too, to this. Thank you, Representative Mecklen, for bringing forth this amendment. This is fantastic. And to really talk about it more, I mean, a state right next door to us, North Dakota, is practicing this technology, is using it, and is realizing exactly what Representative Swazinski just said, that if, you know, just because we're stopping it here doesn't mean it's not going to happen around the world. And I guess I would rather have it right here in my backyard, and I represent one of these host communities that has as a coal power plant, in practice on all of the above energy approach, where I know that we are going to carbon capture, we're going to put it back underground, we're going to do it safely, we're going to do it correctly. I'm going to have that base load power. So when it's negative 50, my home is still warm, my mines are still going, and my paper mills are still going. This is an amazing amendment, and I really would hope we can support this and add this to the bill. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Mecklen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a question for the bill's author. If you feel that 80% is not sufficient, would 90% be better? Would 95% be applicable in your opinion?
Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our bill calls for 100%. And so if we could achieve 100%, I would support that.
Representative Mecklen, any follow-up or are you good?
Madam Chair, I'm going to ask for a roll call. Thank you.
A roll call being requested. We'll take a roll call. The chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Lead Swazinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Libert.
No.
Representative Lizegard?
No.
Representative Mecklen's?
Yes.
Representative Munson's excused. Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A10 amendment, and after that, we will do the A15. Who will be offering the A10 today?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be moving the A10 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, I would be very honored to tell you about my amendment, Madam Chair. This amendment is really, really simple. Back in 2017, the legislature put it into law to have a gas plant built in my lovely town of Becker, Minnesota. And what this bill, or this amendment, rather, would do would be to protect and allow that to continue to go forward and remove or exempt this power plant from this current language that is in this bill. And I naturally would be assured that the author of the bill would love this amendment, as we love our baseload power to keep our lights on, when especially during a polar vortex. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Any discussion on the amendment, Representative Long?
Well, I'm sorry, Representative Mecklen, we're not seeing eye to eye on very much today, but unfortunately I have to oppose the amendment. I think it starts a slippery slope to exempt individual power plants from our overall planning process, including the renewable energy preference.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I too support the Mecklen amendment. You know, I think this latest polar vortex that we saw, there are a lot of folks that would have liked to hug a tree to stay warm during it, but we were very thankful that we were able to hug the Sherco power plant in Becker to stay warm. And I think this bill moves forward and does kill those jobs and eliminate that baseload energy, whether it be coal or natural gas, you know, it will be a detriment, not just the city of Becker, not to Shane Mecklen's district, but to all Minnesotans. And whether you live in the Twin Cities, whether you live in a suburb, or wherever. And I think we would do well.
Representative Stevenson.
Just your periodic reminder that the Texas energy crisis was caused not by an over-reliance on green energy, but by deregulation. As much as Representative Swazinski makes jokes about hugging trees, hugging coal is no other secret to keep yourself warm. Much more coal and gas and nuclear went offline in Texas than wind. And up here in Minnesota during that polar vortex, wind production actually surged and provide more energy than it normally does on the MISO grid. Wind is a new baseload. You don't have to take my word for it. That's what the CEO of Great River Energy says.
And Representative Swazinski, you still have your hand up. I don't know if that's from before or if you have another comment.
No, ma'am, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A15 amendment, and after that, the A16. Who will be offering the A15 amendment today?
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Would you please tell us about your amendment?
Yes, thank you. So the A15 would insert language that reads, the power purchase agreement must be executed by a not-for-profit entity. The entity must certify to the commission that no for-profit entity will benefit from the power purchase agreement. Members, I'm very concerned that we are using taxpayer dollars to enrich for-profit companies. I feel like it's a big grift, and the taxpayers are those that are being fleeced here. So I'm asking you all to accept the A15 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. Last time I checked, Xcel Energy was a for-profit as well. And this deal would be saving money for Minnesota tax ratepayers with the price that has been negotiated while continuing to provide an important service with regard to our tree waste dealing with Emerald Ash Borer. So I oppose the amendment.
Madam Chair.
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And to Representative Long's comment, even at the negotiated price of $98, that energy, I believe, is still too expensive, and we should not be adopting this.
Representative Long, do you have any comment?
Madam Chair, I think we had a good hearing on this bill prior, and we know that this is a short-term bridge to try to deal with the Emerald Ash Borer problem. We don't have another path forward there, but we do, I think, as a part of this negotiated agreement, know that district energy will be looking towards other options in the future, like electrification, which I think will be less expensive and better for the state as a whole.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A16 amendment, and after that will be the A17. Who will be offering the A16 today?
Madam Chair, I would like to move the A16, please.
Thank you, Representative Bow. Can you please tell us about your amendment?
Absolutely. This requires that solar garden owners should be located in the Xcel service territory, just to make sure that people from elsewhere in the country and such aren't ending up making a fairly substantial amount of money off of the back of Minnesota ratepayers and taxpayers. So, thank you.
Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that this is would violate the Dormant Commerce Clause and would be unconstitutional, so I'll have to oppose the amendment.
Seeing no further, Representative Swazinski?
Sorry, I didn't get my hand up, Madam Chair.
Okay. You're okay.
No, I just speak in favor of Representative Bowe's amendment. You know, I think we've heard a lot of really the ownership structure and where the owners live, a lot of them on the East Coast, some overseas, a fairly large one in Omaha. And, you know, we're continually being told this is community, this is local. And the reality is of the fact that it's not. It's enriching people from out of state. And I think Representative Bow, you know, while Representative Long may have stated some good points on it may be unconstitutional, maybe that just points to the fact that this is just bad policy. And, you know, I think Representative Bowe is trying to fix that bad policy in a unique way, but maybe we're just not going far enough with it. So thank you.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed, nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A-17 and after that the A-18. Who will be offering the A-17 today?
Madam Chair, I pull the A-17 and I move the A-18.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Would you like to tell us about the A-18, please?
Thank you, Chair. The A-18 is a pretty straightforward. We're constantly being told that, you know, solar and wind are the cheapest energy sources out there. And yet we have a program in the state of Minnesota that artificially inflates the cost of solar to ratepayers. You know, I think Mr. Evans from Xcel Energy pointed out the fact that from a resource plan, the cost of, you know, unbridled community solar is leading the pack, is the most expensive or the most second most expensive energy on their grid that is being put in the pockets of low income, taken from the pockets of low income ratepayers across the districts and our businesses that are struggling to make it after Governor Walz's restrictions. And I think this amendment will really help lighten the load for those businesses that are struggling after COVID and really lighten the load for the low income ratepayers across Xcel territory. By really focusing the cost of solar gardens so that they are 5% below the national average of solar. And, you know, I think this amendment makes a lot of sense. It's a good way to stand for your constituents. You know, a lot of folks like to demonize business, but, you know, without a business, you don't have a job. Without cheap energy rates, and, you know, this has proven to be the most expensive solar probably in the country, and it's by state edict. And I don't think it needs to happen. It doesn't need to be that way. I just appreciate your support.
Any discussion on the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The amendment deletes public interest, which is the standard that the Public Utilities Commission applies regularly in its proceedings, and it does include things like affordability as well as a broad host of other factors. And so for those reasons, I oppose the amendment.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those opposed say no or nay, excuse me.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We next have the A-19 and after that we will have the A-20. Who will be offering the A-19 today?
Representative Franson, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair and members. So basically the A-19 just places a household income limit on electric car subsidies. If you make more than $100,000 a year, we should not be subsidizing your electric car. That's it. Pretty self-explanatory. I'd like a roll call, and I am looking forward to everybody's support.
A roll call being requested. There will be a roll call. Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I oppose the amendment. We have already addressed this issue in the bill because we have limited the MSRP value. It was 60,000. We've reduced it to 50,000. And so we're targeting vehicles that are going to be affordable to families that are middle income. And that is a much easier method to apply than an income limit when folks do not need to disclose their income to purchase a vehicle.
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I think the Franson Amendment makes a lot of sense. You know, we often hear that, you know, affordable energy, a way to transverse yourself to commute to work is very important. But we also hear a lot of class warfare in this committee and others. And I just think, you know, if we're going to be subsidizing the cost of vehicles, that the person that's going to receive the subsidy should actually need it. And I think income really is a very positive thing to do. You know, I mean, everyone talks about, you know, the rich yuppie guy driving around in the hot rod electric car. And you know, those folks will probably buy one anyway. And so why are we subsidizing or incentivizing someone that's already going to be able to buy it? If we're going to be focusing this, we should be focusing on new markets, new territory, just from a product diversification standard. And I appreciate the Representative Franzen's amendment. I would appreciate your vote positive on it. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
Nope.
Minority Leader Tuzinski.
Yep.
Representative Buren.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franzen.
Franzen votes yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippertz.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
No.
Representative Mecklund.
Yes.
Munson excused. Representative Stevenson.
No.
Can I get a clarification? My apologies. Representative Bowe, could you repeat your vote? I think I might have misheard. I just want to make sure I got it right.
Thank you for checking. Bowe votes yes.
Okay, thank you.
With 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A20 and after that, the A21. Who will be offering the A20 today?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is Representative Swazinski. I move the A20 amendment before the committee.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this, you know, the Solar Gardens, you know, has been an interesting program in the state of Minnesota, you know, blasting past, I think, most people's expectations of what the program would mean. And, you know, we're told in committee that one of the few limitations that are actually on this is the idea that it's community. And community means something close, something nearby, not something hundreds of miles away. While the investors and the buyers and the owners of community solar are hundreds of miles away, at least one of the things that we could do is keep the panels actually close to some of the folks that want them. And, you know, I think this bill is interesting in the fact that it's asking community solar to be outside of people's communities. I think one of the most important things that we can do is have it close. And the contiguous county rule really is one of the only limitations that this bill has, that actually it has something to do with community, and that means close. And I think the elimination of this, while I think is interesting, I really think it defeats the real vision of this bill as it was passed in, I think, 2013. And I think this is short-sighted. I think if we were to put a cap on it, you know, I think you could get, you know, if we would cap community solar to maybe 5 or 10 megawatts, in total across the state, I think you could maybe gain a little bit more support for something like this. But when you have hundreds and hundreds of acres and hundreds of megawatts coming online, displacing utility rate solar with this inflated price solar by government mandate, I really think that it's a disservice to ratepayers, it's a disservice to those of low income who are scraping by to pay their utility bills, and businesses that are struggling to pay their rates and compete in a global market by forcing this expensive, uncompetitive energy on ratepayers across the state. And I would ask for your support of my amendment.
Any discussion to the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I oppose the amendment. I'll note this is your bill, Madam Chair, and it's a bipartisan bill with Senator Rarick authoring it in the Senate, and Senators Rosen and Tomasoni as co-authors in the Senate. And I think the reason it has such broad support is because we know that there are many outside of the contiguous counties in the metro who want the ability to put solar on their farms to provide for additional income. And we've heard from a number of those farmers and in committee in the past that want the option to have some stability for income, as well as the ability to make sure that we have a workable community solar program in the future. So I oppose the amendment.
Representative Mecklund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I rise in support of this amendment. As a person who lives in Sherburne County, and we're seeing more and more proposed very large utility-scale solar. I think we have two 2,500-acre and one almost 5,000-acre proposal currently going. Utility solar is far more affordable, far less expensive. And the other side of it is, yes, I'm all about landowners' rights. On the other side, if this is truly that good, then it should be contained with the manner of which it was originally designed. And I really support this amendment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
No. Nay.
The amendment is not adopted. We'll next
Madam
consider.
Chair? Madam Chair.
Representative Swiezinski, yes.
It appears, I mean, I'm not calling to question the vote, but it appears that people may be voting multiple times. I think just one nay or yay is possibly going to work. So thank you, Madam.
Thank you for that comment, Representative Swiezinski. Let's be all careful to just vote once. All right, so next we have the A21, and after that we will consider the A24. Who will be offering the A21 today?
Madam Chair. Representative Franson will be offering the A21.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Would you please tell us about your vote? Or excuse me.
Yes.
No, your amendment. Sorry.
My vote, I'm sure, will be pretty self-explanatory soon.
Sorry.
So basically, if the owner of the community solar garden, the owner of this community solar garden has to certify to the utility that no child labor or slave labor was used to extract the materials that compose the community's garden solar panels. And before I hear anybody say, oh, we're not gonna do that, it's gonna be too costly, or we've got some possible language we're working on down the road to address this issue, I'm just gonna read off, we already label things here in America, letting us know about the products that we are buying. For example, we've got a certified B corporation. Corporations must meet the minimum requirements of ethical impact on workers, customers, community, and the environment. We've got the USDA organic label. That is labeling found on products that have been produced using cultural, biological, and mechanical practices that support the cycling of on-farm resources, et cetera, et cetera. Then we have the Fair Trade Certified. This is currently available on agriculture products like tea, coffee, chocolate, fruits, flowers. I personally like to buy those products myself. And we have the Fair Trade Foundation. This is, let's see, only applies to agricultural product companies who choose to follow fair trade practices. I like that one too. I like purchasing those products. We've got the World Fair Trade Organization. We've got one that is Equal Exchange Fairly Traded, Fair for Life label, Fair Mind. And that one is transforms mining into an active force for good. It's a label. We've got a Cruelty-Free International Leaping Bunny label. This one is recognizable gold standard for cosmetics, personal care, and household products. Cosmetics, that's a whole nother topic about how unregulated those are, but that's a topic for another day. Then we have the certified vegan label for those vegans out there. That label is very important to them. We've got a bird-friendly label, something that's very important to those people who love birds. Responsible down standard certified. I think you kind of get the drift of where I'm going through. So I am asking for a label. So when people purchase solar panels, install them, they know for sure that the products that they have not been made with slave labor or child labor. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Franson. Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
And I'd like a roll call. Thank you.
Oh, a roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate Representative Franson's big heart for human rights, and I am sympathetic to the concerns that she's raising here. I'll note that the supply chain issues that we've talked about a lot this session for mining are not limited to these electronics, but apply to many electronics. And I haven't seen any amendments to prohibit computer purchases or cell phone purchases that relate to these products as well. But if labeling is what Representative Franson would like, and I think that's a reasonable approach, then the federal government really is the level to do that. The state is not well equipped to deal with international human rights issues of this nature. And so I would encourage her to reach out to members of Congress. And I oppose that.
Madam Chair.
Representative Franson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, Minnesota can be a leader. There are many times that the states take issues before Congress even acts. I mean, even on a state level, we have cities that go way ahead of what where the state is, which pushes the state forward. Let's talk the smoking ban, for example. Many cities were instituting their own ban. Cities didn't say, oh, that's a state issue. No, they said, you know what, there is a need and we are going to push that state forward. And before you know it, there was a state ban with smoking indoors. And so, Madam Chair and Representative Long, we can push the federal government forward. We can say, hey, we recognize this is an issue. We know that human rights is a major concern in these products, and we want to take a stand, and we want to make sure that the products that we are using here in our country, where we are having all kinds of discussions about human rights here in our country, well, we should not be hypocrites, and we should actually follow through on what we are saying and make sure that the items that we are using are ethically sourced.
Let's see, there's a couple of hands up. I think Representative Igoe was first. Representative Igoe.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Chair Long. You raised my point when you talked about, supply chain shortages. I know a great way to fix that right now. We start utilizing the critical minerals we have right here in Minnesota, and we don't have to have these problems. Thank you, Representative Franson, for this amendment, because this is so important. If we want to be leaders and talk about having windmills and talking about having solar panels and all of this technology, we need to do it morally correctly. And that starts with making sure we source all of these materials properly. Because you know what? If we're having a five-year-old in the Congo or a seven-year-old in Madagascar get us these materials, and then they're coming across the ocean on these gigantic ocean liners, dumping millions of pounds of CO2 into our atmosphere, what are we really doing? We're pushing the problem out of our backyards and into someone else's backyard. We're not being leaders. That's not being a leader. A leader is doing what Representative Franson's doing, which is making sure we're going to set a precedent that if we're going to build solar panels, we're going to build windmills, we're going to do it without slave labor. We're going to do it right. We're going to do it right here in Minnesota. And that's what a lot of my legislation's been about this session. And I'm really hoping we can hear some of my amendments that talk about this. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Igoe. Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I stand in favor of Franson. You know, I think Representative Long made an interesting point. Saying, well, we don't make this point when it comes to cell phones. We don't make this point when it comes to computers. Well, we're not mandating, the state of Minnesota is not mandating people buy cell phones. They're not mandating people buying computers.
Seeing no further discussion, the clerk will take the roll and the chair votes no.
Does that have Long?
No.
Minority Leader Swazinski.
Aye.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bo.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igoe.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lislegard.
Lislegard, yes.
Representative Meklins.
Mecklen for the kids, yes.
Representative Munson is excused. Representative Stevenson?
No.
There being seven ayes and nine nays, the amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A24 amendment, and after that, the A25. Who will be offering the A24 today?
Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, this is simply an amendment that a report is required on the state's results, meeting the 5% reduction below national levels. This is similar to Representative Swedinsky's bill that he offered. However, it applies to all energy in the state of Minnesota. And the reason this is important, you know, I got contacted by a Minnesota representative of the energy industry, and he said Minnesota rates are going up 2.5 times faster than the national average. All right. Also, I received a letter from the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, Minnesota Forest Industries, Minnesota Manufacturing Association, Metalcasters, Iron Mining Association, and I'll just share one thing that they say there. Minnesota's commercial, they oppose this bill, and they said Minnesota's commercial and industrial electric rates were once an attractive feature for companies looking to expand or relocate here, but now have the 13th most expensive rates in the country. Members, I'll read that again. We now have, according to these organizations, the 13th most expensive electricity rates in the country, and it's endangering some of these businesses, especially our forest and other and manufacturing. They go on to say this has real-world implications for jobs everywhere from Magnolia to the Mountain Iron Range. There are no fewer than a dozen new cost recovery mechanisms included in this legislation, paid for through rate increases, in addition to numerous new mandates and embedded costs. Collectively, this will add tens of millions of dollars onto already high utility bills. Members, we definitely need to have this report back to us, as it was included in the statute that were to be 5% under the national average as far as electricity rates. So, members, I urge a yes vote, and I would ask for a roll call.
A roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Any discussion to the amendment, Representative Long?
Thank you, Chair Akam. I oppose the amendment. We've had this discussion about rates versus bills, but it doesn't quite seem to be sinking in yet. But bills is what matter. That's what the people actually pay. And Minnesota's bills are have been increasing slower than the national average because we've had effective regulation at the state level and because we've made smart investments in affordable renewable energy. And as I pointed out in our last two meetings, our annual residential electric bills are the third lowest in the Midwest. So we are doing well when it comes to affordability in Minnesota. But for the direct topic of this amendment, I don't believe we need another report to tell us that. In fact, we do have the Quadrennial Energy Review, which just came out last month and also includes reporting on Minnesota's rates. And so I don't think this amendment is necessary. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Long. Next, we have Representative Meckland.
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, I've heard Chair Long repeatedly talk about bills versus rates. As a guy in the trades, naturally, I want to keep my money. So I do everything I can within my own home to improve efficiency and to reduce my power bills. And I have made great strides in doing to reduce the megawatts or the kilowatts that I actually use, yet my bills keep getting higher. I don't need a report to tell me that. I get it every month from the power company. So somehow there's a disconnect between whatever reports you're reading and what I get in the mail every month from my power company. Because I use less and less kilowatts, but I pay, my bill keeps getting bigger, my actual bill. So as I made all these investments in better efficient appliances, in LED light bulbs, and I got a lot of light bulbs, by the way, And I did all this work and I improved insulation and keep making more and more strides to reduce my energy costs. And yet my bill gets bigger, but my usage goes down. I'm finding a disconnect here. And I talk to the local power company and, you know, I just get a song and dance. And they always say, well, you are now where you should be to if you want to do something about it, because we have to do what we're told to do. So you are right. It's regulated, And sadly, it appears to me from my pocketbook, it's going the wrong direction. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Representative Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I just can't resist, first of all, saying that I'm so glad to hear that Representative Mecklen is such a fan of energy efficiency and conservation. I'm looking forward to his vote in favor of the ECO bill on the House floor when that important bill to provide more Minnesotans the opportunities to conserve electricity the way that he has done and save money and create jobs. But really what I wanted to comment on was Representative Grunhagen's comment about how our commercial industrial rates have become not competitive to other states. And, you know, I've told the story, I think, to this committee before, but Gerdau Steel was in my office making a similar complaint 2 years ago, saying that their rates were so uncompetitive compared to where we were, where they were in another state, that they were thinking about shutting down their operations in St. Paul and moving to that other state. And I said, well, is that because of renewables? And they said, oh, no. It's not because of renewables. It's not because of renewable mandates. It has to do with the way that you regulate your electrical markets here and the way, decisions that the PUC is making. And in fact, they ended up shutting down in St. Paul and relocating to that other state. The other state in question being Texas. And the reason why electricity was cheaper in Texas is because their deregulated energy market, which failed so dramatically during the polar vortex. Clean energy is the cheapest form of energy. If we want reliable electricity, sometimes you have to pay for it.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I would simply respond that, you know, evidently, Representative Stevenson and Chair Long are smarter than the Minnesota Chamber of Commerce, the Minnesota Forest Industries, the Iron Mining Association, the Minnesota Manufacturing Association, the Arrowwood Manufacturers and the Fabricators Association, and the Metalcasters Association, who actually pay electric bills, okay? They evidently know more, because remember, they allege in this or state in this letter that we're the 13th most expensive in the country, and this bill will do nothing but add millions of dollars more to already high utility bills. These people employ people. They try to pay competitive wages and benefits, and all we're doing is making them miserable, much less than making low-income people who have to pay energy poverty up to 20% of their income for energy bills. I don't know what smoke they're blowing up, where it's blowing up, but it certainly isn't based on the facts. So members, please vote for this amendment if you care about your businesses in the state and about your constituents. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'd just like to remind Madam Chair and members that we should not be bringing in personality of other members of the committee for, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you for that reminder, Representative Lee. And let's see, a roll call being requested. There'll be a roll call, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Pazinski.
Yep.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
No.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee?
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert?
No.
Representative Lizegard?
No.
Representative Mecklen's?
Mecklen, yes.
Representative Munson's excused. Representative Stevenson?
Nope.
With 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A25 amendment, and after that, the A26. Who will be offering the A25 today?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Mecklen will be offering the A5.
Thank you, Representative Mecklen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
I would, Madam Chair. Thank you. So we have put into this bill a reduction of energy usage at 50% for existing buildings. As I just stated in the last amendment, I have done much of this work, not only on my own property, but many others. And, you know, the first 10% or 20% is pretty darn easy. Then it gets harder and harder to improve even beyond, you know, the costs get greater. The work gets harder. The demolition gets greater, which creates more cost. And it gets more intrusive into the building. And while I think any business owner or any homeowner wants to reduce the cost of their energy consumption, to mandate something like this and to force it upon people is people will do it naturally. I don't know why we have to use the state to use the strong arm. So all this simply says is, can we reduce it from 50% to 49%? Thank you, Madam Chair.
I was muted. Thank you, Representative Mecklenburg. Any further discussion? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't really know what to say. A 1 degree, 1% reduction of a goal does not seem to be particularly serious change, so I oppose the amendment.
Representative Mecklenburg.
That is the precise point to the author of the bill, Representative Long. Who came up with 50%? And how did we, did somebody just pull this out of the thin air? Where did it come from? Did it come from people who actually do this for a living? Where did we derive at this number? And arbitrarily, yes, it is only 1%. But if it's only 1%, then I can't imagine why you would oppose only 1%. Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Mecklenburg. Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm glad you asked the real question, which is how did the number get developed? And the number got developed because we have greenhouse gas goals we've set as a state that we are not meeting. And we know that buildings are a significant portion of those greenhouse gas goals. And 50% by 2035 was what we in the administration were able to determine would help keep us on track for meeting our goals as a state. So obviously there's no magic in it. But that is our best estimate based on the data that we have available from our state greenhouse gas inventories and reports. And so that's why we chose 50%.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 Those
aye.
Opposed say nay.
No.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We will next consider the A26 amendment and after that the A28. Who will be offering the A26 today?
Representative Swazinski will be offering the A26 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yeah, Madam Chair, obviously we heard a bill last week talking about state building programs and solar and energy efficiency and whatnot. And there's a continual use, either you use the renewable fund or general fund. The state of Minnesota is going to be bringing in a heap load of federal printed money out of thin air, and those funds will be called the ARP Act funds. And whether or not you agree or disagree whether we should have printed the money, one thing we should agree on is that the legislature should make our minds up about this. And it was brought up yesterday in one of the committees talking about, you know, the legislature needs to have a hand. The legislature needs to make a decision. We are here. We are legislators. We're elected. Governor Walz does not need to spend this money on his own. We're big boys and girls. Let's actually move a bill forward that puts a stamp of approval by legislators who represent people from a vast space across the state and use ARP dollars, and that's what this amendment does, and I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Swazinski. I will say that it's the ruling of the chair that this amendment is out of order under Rule 4.03, paragraph F, because it spends money outside of our budget target and is not within our budget resolution. So I am sorry, but the amendment is out of order.
Madam Chair?
Representative Swazinski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wish you would have found that differently. I do understand where you're coming from. But once again, I noticed that you probably accidentally skipped over Representative Igo when you announced the listing of his amendment. Is there something that you have? Does the committee have something in general against mining or Representative Igo that we can't just hear these in order that we submitted them? That you're waiting to push these to the end. I understand there's disagreement with the DFL majority when it comes to mining and actually locally sourcing copper, nickel, lithium, and they'd rather use slave labor, obviously, but why can't we hear these amendments? You know,
We want to be able to present these bills and amendments. Representative Igoe has been an absolute hero on these issues for the range, we really would appreciate hearing these amendments as we go along, rather than shoving them to the end and treating Northeast Minnesota like a second-class area of our state.
As I said before, Representative Swedzinski, we will get to all the amendments, and there are many. And right now we're on the A28, and Ben will be referring to the A29. So who will be offering the A28 today?
Madam Chair, I move the A28 amendment.
Thank you, Representative Swedzinski. Can you tell us about your amendment, please?
So, Madam Chair, this restores the report on the size of elections. I'm not really understanding why we would have deleted this, and this simply brings it back in. I guess I haven't heard a really good reason why this is being deleted, and that's why I think we should reinstate this. That's why I'm supporting this amendment. I'd appreciate your support.
Thank you, Representative Swedzinski. Any discussion on the amendment? Representative Long.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm happy, Madam Chair, I'm happy to explain why we are deleting this report. There has not been a setback situation that fits the description under the statute to report since it was enacted in 2008. So there has been no need to report since 2008. So we are removing the requirement because it is unnecessary. And so I will oppose the amendment.
Thank you, Representative Long. Seeing no further discussion on the amendment, all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed say nay.
No.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. We are next on the A29, and after that, we will be considering the A30. Who will be offering the A29?
Representative Grunhagen.
Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Would you like to tell us about your amendment?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, this simply redefines in the bill clean energy as dirty, inefficient, and expensive energy. I'll comment on each three of those aspects. The first thing is dirty, okay? We see that the rare earth elements and other things included in solar and wind are extremely caustic, and they're going to cause a huge problem in terms of the windmills themselves, the solar panels themselves, and how to deal with them from an environmental standpoint afterwards. I personally believe we're creating one of the biggest environmental disasters in the history of this state when we promote this alternative energy without a plan to deal with where this caustic material will wind up. In addition to the slave labor and other elements, it also puts us at a disadvantage to foreign countries where we pay millions or billions of dollars to bring this stuff over, specifically China and even the Congo. Secondly, in terms of inefficient, I did comment on that from the Minnesota Chamber, Forest Industries, and others. Regardless of the denial, okay, just like Obamacare, we were told all these things, great things, what they were going to do the health insurance market, and every one of them turned out to be a lie, which is personally why I'm starting to think legislators that promote bills should be liable for the results down the road, and we probably wouldn't pass a lot of this stuff. Anyway, according to their comments, the letter, and also other areas, and my own personal experience of my rates going through the roof since we promoted alternative energy, also talking to my local co-op, if this was such cheap energy, why do we need millions of dollars of subsidy for it and all these mandates? If it was truly competitive, the market would bring it forth itself. Instead, it's again government trying to force this regardless of the consequences on our private sector. And unlike the private sector, they can't pass a law that people have to bail them out from the area when they can't meet their bills and expenses, okay? Now, government can. Government can pass boondoggles and then pass laws to increase taxes and confiscate from citizens the money they need to cover their boondoggles. Private businesses can't do that. And yet that's exactly what we're doing to these private businesses. We're putting millions of dollars of costs on them, and they're going to have to adjust their rates higher and also probably pay their employees less in terms of salary and also benefits. So, and finally, members, expensive. Okay, so it's inefficient. It doesn't provide baseload electricity, and I know people claim otherwise. It's expensive, and one of the reasons it's expensive too, again, an industry person contacted me and said, XL Energy is taking down some windmills after just 6 years. Now, I was told numerous times they're supposed to last 20 years, and yet 6 years later, we're having to take them down, and we see in Iowa, we see in Texas and also California, the results of this. We have a disaster coming, and we don't want to name the energy of what it really is, this alternative energy. It's dirty, inefficient, and it's expensive. And regardless of denials, just like Obamacare, like I predicted on the House floor when that was passed, that we were going to be that rates were going to skyrocket and deductibles were going to skyrocket, and I was ridiculed for it, but that's exactly what happened. This is the same thing. This is the Obamacare of electricity rates, and it's going to hurt our citizens and our businesses. And I pray that people will come to their senses, especially on the other side of the aisle, and actually identify this energy for what it is. And Madam Chair, I want a roll call.
Roll call being requested. We will have a roll call. Thank you, Representative Grunhagen. Any discussion, Representative Long?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You know, if we were going to file nearly 50 amendments, I was hoping that the amendments would at least be serious. And this amendment is a total joke. We are at a place in our nation's history where we are seeing clean energy move forward, and it is moving forward whether the folks on the other side of the aisle want it to or not. And that is because it is more affordable than existing sources of energy. And I don't know how many times I have to say that, but the utilities are moving towards clean energy because it is cheaper. 15, 20 years ago, you might have been right, Representative Grunhagen, it was more expensive. But right now, it is cheaper. And that is why we are moving towards clean energy. And you talk about subsidies. Well, we have seen 4 to 5 times more subsidies for fossil fuel energy. And those subsidies are in the existing tax code, and they go from year to year. And so we don't have to extend those subsidies. Those are there for oil and coal year in and year out. And so if you would like to levelize the cost, I would be grateful to repeal all of the fossil fuel subsidies that we're seeing at the federal level. But if we're talking about which energy is clean and which energy is dirty, renewable sources don't need nuclear waste storage. They don't produce 10,000 years of nuclear waste. They don't cause asthma or premature death in our communities. We have seen, as I mentioned earlier, 2,000 cases of premature death in the Twin Cities every single year from polluting sources of energy. Renewable energy doesn't do that. Renewable energy doesn't spill oil. Renewable energy doesn't create toxic coal ash in our communities. There is no question which source of energy is the clean source of energy and which source of energy is the dirty source of energy. There is no question which source of energy is the affordable source of energy and which source of energy is more expensive. And that's why we are seeing utilities moving toward this direction. We are seeing our economy moving towards this direction, and it will be better for our state. And those who are supporting dirty fossil fuel energies are going to be left in the dust, because we know that those are the energies of the past. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Long. Representative Frentzen, I just want to say we've got just a couple minutes, so please make quick comments if you can.
Yes, I did have my hand up. Yeah. Madam Chair, Representative Long, members, so I really appreciate Representative Long's comment when he said we are in a place of our nation's history. And indeed, we are in a place of our nation's history. When we are talking about the human rights issues that we have had in this country in the past, and we are talking about them today on systematic racism, on equity, on equality, in every committee, we are talking about that. But when we bring up issues related to green energy on the human rights issues, they are poo-pooed. Representative Glenn Grunhagen is right. Green energy is dirty energy. It profits off the backs of children, of women, of people who are forced under
inhumane conditions to make products so that this state in this country can move to some sort of green energy utopia. Very rarely do I get upset, but I am extremely upset at that comment. We are in a place of our nation's history. My goodness. There is a video I just watched. Madam Chair, I just watched a video today of China's Uyghur camp detainees alleging systematic rape of the women that are being held in camps that make solar panels. Madam Chair and members of this committee, it is time that we take these issues seriously. This is not a joke. Green energy is dirty energy, especially when it comes to human rights issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Franson. And unfortunately, we've run out of time for debate, so we're going to have to take the vote on the amendment, and the chair votes no.
Representative Long.
No.
Minority Leader Brzezinski.
Yes.
Representative Bierman.
No.
Representative Bowe.
Aye.
Representative Christensen.
No.
Representative Franson.
Yes.
Representative Grunhagen.
Yes.
Representative Hollins.
Absolutely not.
Representative Hornstein.
No.
Representative Igo.
Yes.
Representative Lee.
Lee, no.
Representative Lippert.
No.
Representative Lizegard.
No.
Representative Meckland.
Yes.
Representative Munson's excused. Representative Stevenson.
No.
There being 6 ayes and 10 nays, the amendment is not adopted. And so, let's see, we have to thank you for all the hard work today. We're going to pick up where we left off tomorrow morning at 8:30. Bring your coffee. And so with that, the bill is laid over and we are adjourned.